Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from Henderson, Nevada, it's the Rebecca Roth Show, Henderson, Nevada, where the air is hotter than I remember and dirtier than I've ever seen it. And with me is Rebecca Roth.
Ranja, what are you doing in Henderson? It's way too hot to golf down there.
You know, Henderson is not very far from the Strip, and I can't see the Strip. That's how dirty the air is. I think it's fires and stuff coming in from Utah and California, and it's just hotter than hot.
Yowza. Well, I hope you don't stay there very long.
So I'm not going to be there very long.
Didn't think so. Not if it's not good golf, then it's not a good place to be, I guess. Not sure why you would go there, but I guess the Southwest is having some record heat, and I don't know. It just seems to be way hot. So that's kind of amazing.
You know, I don't see your microphone.
Well, let's see. I know we've had a little cleanup here, so maybe I'm not online. Was I mute, maybe? Hopefully. Hopefully you can hear me, or else this will be the Ramjet Show. So go ahead, and we will just continue on and see how it goes. So,
well.
What's up next? Are you going to do a little book update?
I think you should do a little book update.
Shall we use one microphone?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I think you're good.
Okay, well, Let's see what's up now. Okay, well, here's the latest. This is pretty exciting. Now, if you follow along with me in my Facebook group, you probably already know this, but the online store has been reworked, and it's easier to get all the books now. You can order the first book, Methodical Illusion, Hard or Softback, Methodical Deception, Hard or Softback, and the third book is in a pre-order sale price until July 17th. And so I hope that works out really well for everyone. It's always fun to save a little bit of money.
You know, I'm gonna let you use this.
Gonna trade microphones?
Okay. All righty, we're trading microphones because I don't think that one is hooked up right. You might plug in all the cords and stuff. Okay, well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. Now I can see on the mixer that I have actually a voice. So, sorry, but we had moved things around here, and that just didn't work out very well. So let me start again this update, because I think this is what, kind of important. The online store has been reworked, and it's easier to purchase now. I mean, it's easier to go through. All those books are autographed, and I have the bookmarks, and each book will get a few of those. I'll just throw in a handful of bookmarks. And the reason that I decided I wanted to make those is, one, you can leave this bookmark with someone that you don't want to talk to about 9/11. And if they read this series, they're going to have a whole new perspective on what happened that day. So they're high quality. They're, embossed and laminated. I guess it's called laminated. So it's not something somebody's going to throw away. It'll work really great for keeping your self organized while you do your reading. You can just So I have to use a Kleenex or a napkin now. And then if you want, we've put those on. I think there are 10 of them for $3 total. That's his shipping and everything. So if you want to buy some, you can buy them in packets of 10 and leave them around or share them with your book club or share them with, you know, friends and family that you just don't want to get into that dicey conversation about 9/11. like a lot of us don't want to get in that conversation. So, those are going to be in there. So the 3-book series is also available to order. And the pre-sale price is good until July 15th. And I'm just ballparking. That's when it should be on Amazon. It could be on as early as the 7th or 8th of July on Amazon, and it'll be on as a Kindle and a hardback, softback. I think everything will be on around that time. Now, when you look at this, when you go to go shipping, right now it says 30 days, and only there's a padding in there so that your order can be processed. And if something happens and there's a slight delay of a day or two, I don't ever expect it'll be 30 days to ship it. I think that you'll have it probably before the 15th of July if you order at the pre-sale price.
But I'm not sure exactly when the books will be in your hands to autograph.
Right. So, well, yeah, and I'm not positive the date I will have them, but as soon as I have them, they'll go out. So if you want to save a few dollars, you can go into the store now and do a pre-sale price for a softback or hardback. And then after July 15th, that'll change to be the same pricing of the other books. It'll be just the same price for the softback and same price for the hardback. So it's very exciting to have it all coming together. And there's some things that I'm going to do that are a little bit different this time in that, one, I'm going to have shortly Facebook pages for every book. And so you guys can, you know, share that with your friends, and I'll send that out. And so if you follow me on Facebook or follow my like page, there's also going to be, you should be able to search very soon for Methodical Illusion, Methodical Deception. And the third book is called Methodical Conclusion. So, and you can go on the online store and see what the cover looks like, because the artwork is there. All three of the books' artwork is on the bookmark as well. And this is my favorite cover. I thought Methodical Illusion was a great cover. But as you can see when you look at this one, there's a little bit of information about the gold. And so the whole cover is a gold puzzle, and one piece lifting up through the light shining through. And it's just the best. I mean, I like them all because my graphic artist is really great. But I think this is going to be really fun. Now,
well, I just wanted to say that I got my hands on a copy of the manuscript not too long ago. And so I basically read the unedited version with all the punctuation errors and whatever. But the story is great. And what really stands out is the fact that, you know, all of the people that Rebecca has been working with to help interpret the Freedom of Information Act, which by herself, she wouldn't have been able to do because it was like a foreign language. But, you know, when you got people that actually understand what it was and gave the information, it really makes the story very, very interesting because it kind of tells who, what, when, where, and how 9/11 happened. And there's a lot of stuff that's been revealed that nobody has. And it's really because she was able to decipher what went on in the Freedom of Information Act. And so it just really wraps the whole book together. And some of the same characters that you've seen in the other two books and a few new ones that you've never seen really make this thing come alive. So I'm excited to, you know, get my hands on a real copy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know those that got to read the first book when it was edited by me saw all those mistakes. And, you know, when you write, it's really interesting. I was telling someone the other day, when you are creating, I have all of this research And what I have to do is create a fictional characters to present it to the reader so that it's presented so that it's a, you know, non-threatening and interesting and exciting. And so it's really an interesting thing, but you get typing so fast when in your mind, in your mind's eye, you start to see a scene open up, for instance, and you're typing so fast that, you know, a she is a he, and you know, you don't hit the S or you don't use all the punctuation you should. But the name of the game is getting the idea out in the print, in the text. So you can kind of go back and edit. So the process right now is the editor is just finishing up, and she will probably have the rest of it to me here in the next maybe 1 to 3 days or so, probably by Monday or Tuesday. At that point, then it gets formatted for a softback, hardback, and for the Kindle. That just takes a little bit of time, like a day maybe. And then it goes off to the printers, and they put all the pages together and bind it all, and then they send out a proof copy to either myself or the publisher. And so that usually gets a quick once over to make sure that that everything's lined up correctly. And then a huge book order is set. So that's kind of how that it takes. And then it just takes a few days usually to get books to where I'm at so I can get them signed and start getting them put together for the book orders and stuff. So that's all happening now. It could all be online by the 8th or so of July if everything went well. But I'm saying the 15th just because, you know, it's out of my hands now. It's in lots of other people's hands, and things happen in people's lives. So I'm just going to give it a little padding of time. So that's kind of why I'm saying the 15th, and it should be on Amazon. But if you follow my Facebook like page, the author, Rebecca Roth author page, or send me an email off any of the websites. And in the next couple of days, I'll have a methodicalconclusion.com website up and running. And you can email me, contact me through there. So those contact buttons on the websites go right to my email box. And so unless there's something going on that I can't be retrieving email and an IT person does it, it's usually me that it goes to. And I usually take a look at it. And if you're trolling and you want to send stuff, it goes right into the junk mailbox and you never can contact me again. So that's the way that works. So anyway, that's the update, and it's very exciting. And this has really been truly, well, just the other day, I was telling a really good friend of mine who also had flown that the people that have stepped up to the plate and have helped me read through the data, that's air traffic control data like radar stuff and flight strips and logs, daily logs, facility logs from air traffic control centers and towers that day. And I have all the stuff from Chicago East and down to Washington and up to Boston area. So it's a lot of them. And I, since that wasn't my career, although almost was, I almost was an air traffic controller. Since it wasn't my career, the people that came forward to help that it was their career immediately could see things just like I saw the flight attendant and flight crew protocols not being followed. For a hijacking. Now, I don't know what they thought was going on. I'm sure it was a degree of confusion, which we all heard in Betty Ong's voice and Amy Sweeney's voice when they were calling out, because they weren't just doing things the way they should have been, the way they had been instructed to. So the air traffic controllers can look at something and immediately see things that I would honestly never have been able to see. So I'm very, very grateful for all of those. And when you read the thank you page, you're going to see that none of them are listed by name, because they can't be. Sorry, but, you know, I know that a lot of people are like, well, how come more airline people aren't coming forward? And how do we know they're real? How do we know you're real? So, you know, here's the deal. You can either read the books or not. You can either believe the information or not, because quite frankly, I don't care, because the next book that I have lined up, and it's going to be a while before I start it, is the nonfiction. So you're going to get to see all the stuff we use. But if I just laid it out there and showed you, you wouldn't know what you were looking at any more than I I knew what I was looking at when I was going through this terabyte of Freedom of Information Act data. It's very specified information. So unless you're an air traffic controller, you wouldn't even know what it was. So not only do I have to put it out there for you, I have to explain to you what normal would be, what this is saying, what's been uncovered. So it's going to be a kind of a lengthy and time-consuming process to get a nonfiction book out. But also in that nonfiction book, I think I'm going to write about being a novelist after being a flight attendant for nearly 32 years, and then having trolls come forward and claim that I'm a fraud, that I was really a chemist or a CIA agent. So I'm going to lay out all the trolls by name and number and location, because I've got a lot of their information, and kind of do a little troll back on that, because I think you'll find it really interesting, the losers that have come forward to try to squelch this information, and those that have literally stepped up and want nothing but the truth to come out, pretty much like me. So that's what's happening. And those would be the air traffic controllers, the military people, the intelligence people, DARPA people. There's been some research and development scientists that have come forward that have shared information as well. So it's just been truly a miraculous divine intervention. There is no way that I could have put all of this together without the people that came forward to. And not only were they able to see this stuff, but some of them had personal eyewitness contact, personal experiences that throughout the year or so before 9/11, during that time, on the morning of, that had they not had that experience and then found me and shared that experience, then, I mean, none of this could have come together. And it's miraculous, because I couldn't have done it. I don't even know how it all came together. But when people saw things that they didn't know what they were looking at until they read Methodical Illusion, and then they realized where the planes had been taken, how it had been done, and then they brought their information forward. So it's exciting. It's very dangerous, and it's going to, in a sense, kind of scary for a lot of people, because there's a lot of people right now that know and that are actually quite frightened by the truth coming out. So I guess when you're into that, you just have to kind of come to grips with what that's all about. So I think that, I'm finding it very interesting. Now, let me just say this, that in November of 2014, I released Methodical Illusion. No? 2015? No, was it? I can't know. It was November 2014. And then in August of 2015, Methodical Deception came out. So in 19 months, these three novels have come out exposing lots of 9/11 truth. And in between, around December of 2014, I believe it was, I got this terabyte of Freedom of Information Act data. Now, I've done over 100 interviews on radio and Coast to Coast AM and Caravan to Midnight and Hagman Report, and met some really large audiences. And the SGT report on YouTube, I know we had, the last time I looked, almost 1 million views on that one, and that was from Methodical Deception. Lots of people know that I have a terabyte of Freedom of Information Act. I literally have had one person that is not in the truth movement, not a author, not a retired professor, not an architect or engineer, just somebody that would just like to look at it. And it just blows my mind how many people think they know what happened on 9/11 and no one is interested to look at the data. And they all think they know what really happened. It's just mind-blowing to me. And again, I'm grateful that I wasn't on one of those planes so that I could live to stand in the truth and dig through this information like I have. And that, in a sense, maybe because I was a flight attendant, that I'm not a threatening, I'm not a jerk. I listen to people. I have lots of patience, and I'll read through whatever they send. and listen to them and talk with them over the phone, whatever. And I don't attack people. Maybe that's why so many people have come forward with such incredible information and so much help that it truly has been amazing to me. And now that I know this, I will just say this. Now that the methodical conclusion is finished and the artwork is out there, and you'll start seeing it on social media and Facebook, and the publishers just sent out a pre-sale. So if you've bought autograph books from the store before, you're going to get an email. Check your spam box for the pricing and all that. You can go to our online store, and I'll put a link to the online store under this when it goes on to YouTube. But it's just truly been an amazing thing to get this done in 19 months and then having these little jerks trying to claim your 15, 16, 18, 20 different people and 16, 18, 20 different careers. Just don't be a flight attendant because that'll blow my no airplane theory out of the water, you bitch. You know, I mean, it's just absolute insanity. Some of them I've actually kept their emails, so, and they'll go into the nonfiction, into the troll section. I think you'll find it very interesting to see what a novel writer goes through. Now, I do know this, that when you get to a level of celebrity, that you get lunatics coming out. And I know that people even hate J.K. Rowling. And I know that she also writes under at least two other pen names. So that's just what happens, I guess, when people, I saw a guy that was hating on me on a Facebook, and his very first post on his Facebook page was asking for money so he could go travel around the country, and then hating on me because I charge money for my books. That's pretty amazing. So, well, at least I've done something for the money. I'm not just begging for you to give me gas money. I mean, so you're going to see a lot of big hypocrites in the troll industry. But, yeah, just losers, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've never been involved in it. And, you know, now that my books are out there and I've got a couple more going, I've got this blog going, and I'm either going to do this on a WordPress blog or through my blog on Wix. And you can link into that on, I think, all the home pages of Methodical Illusion, methodicaldeception.com, Methodical Conclusion. We'll have one too. We'll link onto my little blog, but I'm thinking about setting one up on WordPress to help you guys do some survival and preparedness just stuff, because people keep asking me to do another show on that. And that leads me, that's my segue into what we're going to talk about today. And I think that it looks like we only have one microphone. So we're going to have to see if we can adjust things so we can pull in a Ramjet when he talks and see if we can get all this put together so that it works. But what we're going to talk about is what happened with the Brexit vote on Thursday, Friday, I guess it was kind of overnight, long night for a lot of people that watched it. And now what you're seeing, and leading up to this, and especially if you've been on social media, you saw the elite, the global elite, really doing tons of fear mongering, pushing paranoia, and all kinds of propaganda. Now, there's talk of, and I haven't really followed up on this because I've been, Lord knows, extremely busy trying to get this third book out and stay alive. But there's been lots of people online that are oftentimes conspiracy type people. So you have to take that for what it's worth. But one of the, I believe it was an MP in the parliament, in the British parliament, Jo Cox was her name, J-O-C-O-X. And she was very much for the war in Syria and a globalist. And she was to stay with the EU. And she was pretty much a globalist, like Hillary Clinton. And so, geez, about the 16th, I guess it was maybe a week before the vote, she supposedly was murdered. And now there's the conspiracy. Of course, now we have conspiracies that Ramjet is really Brent Bozell. So the conspiracy nuts will say anything on the internet. So you just have to. But I'm starting to see now all of the stuff that was going on. It's even revved up even more now that that they've lost, and that the UK wants to leave the EU. And so apparently now there are people that are saying that Jo Cox, her murder was either a hoax or plain may quite frankly, maybe done. I don't know. She's really alive somewhere on the beach of somewhere with some of the other people that got away with 9/11. Who knows? But I don't really know because I haven't followed it that close. I've just been looking at some of the conspiracy type things that are out there claiming that the guy who supposedly killed her had already died like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was a really old person, if I remember correctly, like some guy in his 70s. And so the whole story is kind of weird, but it was perhaps done for a sympathy vote. And that's how bad this was. I mean, the propaganda was crazy. So the people in the UK were just hating on each other. And so what's happening now is that they're either wanting to separate the city of London from the UK. And so the city of London would join the EU and just have a big hole in the UK, I guess, where London would be. And then also they want to have a new referendum because they claim that, well, we didn't like the outcome of that, so we want to have another vote.
Well, let's just give a little background as to really what how this was put together. I mean, there was this contingency of people in the United Kingdom that wanted out of the EU for various reasons. And as a result, they managed to get this before Parliament, who then discussed it and went ahead and put the referendum up. And they thought going into this election that the Remain in the UK or in the EU would win the day. And even the opposition to that, the Leave, thought that that was going to be the case. Well, lo and behold, that's not what happened. They won basically 52% to 48%, which is a 4 percentage point, which in most elections is a pretty substantial win. Well, the propaganda going into this was tremendous. You know, they absolutely did everything in their power to convince the people that, you know, they needed to stay. And that's not what happened. And then what was interesting is to watch the elites on television absolutely go apoplectic as a result of that, and basically call the people who voted to leave the EU the stupid people. The rich people, the smart people, the cool people, the good-looking people, they all voted to remain. But the dumb, stupid, ignorant, and uglies, they voted to leave.
Well, that was amazing to me because this was one time where I really wanted to watch CNN and the outcome of this because I just was sure the vote was rigged. And so I was amazed when I saw that that they actually said that. They were actually saying I was like, oh my goodness, they're really just taking down all these people. If you voted to leave the EU, you were dumb. And I just couldn't believe it. You were ugly. So they were kind of, the TV people were kind of trolling on anybody that wanted to leave.
Well, you know, I thought what was really funny was Christine Amanpour. I mean, she, you know, and then I had to give her, you know, the benefit of the doubt in the sense that she was up all night. So I'm sure she wasn't at her tip-top best. But she was just absolutely coming unhinged. And she couldn't talk to the people. She couldn't do anything that really expressed what it was she was trying to say. All she wanted to do was complain and moan and whine about the outcome. And, you know, now they're trying to figure out a way to make it so that it doesn't count. And they want to have another vote. Now, how many times? I mean, that's like third grade. Yeah. Well, we didn't get what we wanted, so we're going to vote again.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting to see what's going on because there is so much propaganda. I mean, they want to say that this is going to cause a global financial collapse. Well, anybody that has half a brain has been seeing that a global financial collapse was on its way. Perhaps they're going to use this as the Kickstarter, and that's quite possible. And so, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, and now what it's done is it's really been the impetus for a number of countries that want out of the EU to now say, oh, this can be done. So we're going to do it. And they say there's 5, 6, 7, 8 countries that maybe will put a referendum forward and leave, and it'll just completely destroy the European Union. Well, maybe that'll happen. Maybe it won't. But the point is the people, not the elites, but the people realize that the EU is screwing them.
Yeah.
They're bringing in all kinds of people from all over, refugees that are taking their jobs. And as a result, they're not happy about it. And they realize that it's the elites that are winning the day. And so given the opportunity to vote against it, that's what they're doing. And that's what they're going to continue to do.
Well, it's really amazing, you know, because we've been talking about how when things are happening, how the elite like to pull off a false flag and divert our attention. And so another 9/11, maybe somewhere in London, maybe somewhere in New York, who knows? I mean, I have no idea, but they need to grab the world's attention because this is the global elite have just been busted. The New World Order that George Bush talked about, you read about in the Methodical Illusion. This is not a pretty picture. And this is the one world government you'll read about if you get into reading the Revelations in the Bible. The one world currency, the one world government. This is a global tyranny. And that's what the EU is kind of the start of. And I think that people have seen after so many years that their life is not better under the EU. And that's why people are now wanting to start out. And I think we're going to see more referendums from all over. But here's another interesting thing that for me, it's very interesting because one of the things that's recently happened now today is that the trolls from Europe are trolling the UK over the Brexit vote. And they're on Twitter and they're on social media saying good riddance and worse things, you know, like, nastier things as well. They're just being jerks, but they're actually trolling against them. And then yesterday, I believe it was, I was reading that France says, well, if they're going to pull out, then we're going to put all of the immigrant camps over in the UK. I mean, they're like done playing with the immigrants. But when people don't understand that the New World Order, these global tyrants, what has happened to Europe is because these guys can only succeed by making a one world. In order to do that, they have to get rid of all the nationalism. Now, I rarely ever I'm in a position to listen to Rush Limbaugh. But on Friday, Open Line Friday, I remember it was saying Open Line Friday, Rush Limbaugh did a dissertation on what happened, and that was so right on that I've never, ever heard him reference these elitists. This is the cabal, the octopus, the elitists, the New World Order people, that he basically just said the same thing I had just said, is they have been busted. The people are waking up and they don't want them to control everything anymore. The TPP and the TPIP, that makes it so that these corporations and these huge, gigantic corporations can't be sued if you end up taking a pharmaceutical that destroys you, kills you, or your children. There's just no recourse on just about anything. So it's just amazing to see because now the UK pulling out, it changes a lot of the stuff that they've been put in place for a long time. So a lot of things have to be reworked.
Well, I know we wanted to talk about the relationship between 9/11 and this Brexit vote and what, you know, may or may not happen through all of Europe and the European Union as a result. But 9/11, and nobody knows this better than you because of all of your research, basically was the elite pulling something off to get something they wanted. They wanted to be able to create and go in and destroy much of the Middle East and realign all the boundaries and be able to have refugees pull into Europe and pull into the United States and destroy the nationalistic tendencies of these, you know, various countries. And as you look back over the last 15 years, that's exactly what has happened. And as long as they weren't being called on the carpet for it, everything was cool. But now with the Brexit vote and some of the other things that are happening worldwide, people waking up to their little false flags, we become much more vulnerable. I mean, we've done some shows about, do you feel safer? Are you prepared? As a result of England pulling out of the EU, I feel less safe and more vulnerable than I ever have.
The whole world is very vulnerable right now because the elite, now keep in mind that the elite, they have access to all the weapons. They have access to the power grids. They have access to all of things that we like to put in the safety and security category. And so they can divert through that and pull off any kind of a monumental global false flag, multi-cities even. I mean, there's nothing they can't do because they basically run everything. They have control of the security, just like this last thing we saw in Orlando, where this guy was an employee for 9 years. That's almost a decade. And he was an American. He wasn't some foreigner. But he was a 9-year employee of G4S Security, Wackenhut. They own and control all the security around all of our weapons, our prisons, our weapons, our power plants. I mean, it's just massive. You just need to look up Wackenhut and G4S. But there's another thing that a lot of people finally started to look at. G4S Security is also involved with a crisis acting group. So as part of their training and training employees to how to react or what to do in a, let's just say the active shooter drills, they hire actors to do that. Well, lo and behold, in the Orlando thing, we are looking now and we see that lots of people who were involved with that, the shooter was an actor. One of the guys that claimed he was crawling around in all this blood but didn't have a drop of blood on his clothing or his arms in the middle of this when the media interviewed him had not a drop of blood on him the whole time. He's an actor, too. So, I mean, there's lots of them. And the Hispanic young boy you saw on Fox News, he's an actor. So you see all kinds of stuff going on. You see a really interesting connection. But it's that kind of stuff. Now that we know what 9/11 was, it was a false flag. And now we know, and when you read Methodical Conclusion, you're going to know even more. And it's mind-blowing that these people do this. There's nothing they won't do, even if they killed Jo Cox or had her killed or faked her death, just to get a sympathy vote, just to get people to say, oh, my, well, you know, there's only nut jobs want to leave. And that's kind of was their the psyop of that was, only the poor people, only the trash bags, the people that don't count, the ugly people. I mean, I just can't believe what they were saying on TV. But there's just so much propaganda going on. And now they're pushing this global finance. So this is the thing I really want to help people get used to, get ready for, get themselves ready for with your survival stuff and with not survival, just prepared, be prepared. I don't think that people are going to have to throw their, 350-pound backpack on and go through the woods or anything. I don't think you need a bunker, but if stuff starts happening in your neighborhood, you should be able to hunker down in and shelter in. And that's my favorite thing to help people do is to figure out how to shelter in, how to be safe in your own home. So, and how to have the stuff that you don't need to go out for as long a period as you can. So I'm going to try to put that together in some of the blogs that I'm starting up now that I'm done writing. I need to do something more relaxing.
Well, the other thing that is really apparent is you're beginning to see that ISIS really is the enforcement arm of the elite. Whether they actually do the enforcing or not, they are the ones that are being accused of, the terrorism. And it's the terrorism that pushes the world in the direction that the elite want it to go. And so it just becomes all of a sudden, the scales are removed from your eyes and you see this. And you recognize the fact that, we've been hornswoggled.
Yeah, we've been hoodwinked, as Max Baker would say. So anyway, I think that people need to be aware, just kind of start paying attention to your surroundings and to how we're being set up. And ISIS does do the dirty work, and that's a boogeyman. Now, before we had Osama bin Laden, but you remember in other interviews I've said this, I want to repeat it again, though it's very important. At our yearly training, we always went over who the potential terrorist type hijacker, you know, we didn't have terrorists, we talked about hijackers only, but you know, the boogeyman were. And I'd never heard of Osama bin Laden as a potential to damage an aircraft or to hijack an airplane or to cause any problem in the airline industry. And I remember watching this unfold on television that morning on 9/11. And I'm like, who is this guy? And the second question I got was, how did he take control of NORAD? I mean, whoever this guy is, he's smarter than anyone on the planet, because if he was able to do what had to be done to keep the jets from scrambling. But now later on, I found out, and I've got tons of information. I've got transcripts of conversations that went down between air traffic controllers and the military for the scramble, and all the people involved, the generals, the colonels, the higher ups in the military that, you know, here all the stuff's coming down, and they're like, oh, well, I'm going out to lunch. And so I found out why there was delays and who caused the delays. And it's just mind-blowing. I mean, having been almost on one of those aircraft myself, it's a mind-blower to see what how they dropped the ball and why. Well, because it had to happen.
Well, the other thing that I was really impressed with in your manuscript is the number of lies that were told in retrospect, in looking back at 9/11 by the people who had some responsibility for it. I mean, they were just bald-faced lies of things that did or didn't happen. And, you know, having them paint the picture the way that made them look like they were in the best possible light. And you've been able to cut through that. And, you know, call the spade a spade in whatever, you know, case that is. And it's just really, really mind-blowing that this government in certain aspects of it could be so corrupt. I had no idea.
It is. It's mind-blowing. I hate to laugh. I mean, it is truly the most mind-blowing thing I think I've ever experienced. I remember looking back thinking when I discovered Westover and how the remote had taken over and stuff, that I just thought I was, I'd seen it all then, but my goodness sakes, the aviation experts that have come forward to help me see things have just been.
Well, I'm not going to give this away, but you know, you were ready to go to press with this when a revelation came to the forefront that just absolutely, you know, shook you to your core.
Yeah.
And it delayed, you know, another by another week or so, because you had to get it into the book as to what what transpired. Yeah. And who'd have thought?
Yeah, and very much like the second book, when the eyewitness in Western Massachusetts saw United 175 landing, someone else came forward at the last minute. And I just finally, I can't write, I'm not going to write another novel. This is the end of this series. I will continue writing, but it won't be about this. This is the conclusion, the methodical conclusion. And
you're going to do the ramjet golf tour?
I might. I need to do something that's less stressful and, you know, something a little bit more fun. That's why I'm thinking about instead of selling a book or writing a book or putting even it on ebook, if I can maybe set up one of the blogs that I want to do for your survival and preparedness. That way you can ask questions too, because that would be more like in some place where you can go and say, well, how do I figure out what to do, or where do I start? And then I can do a little blog, or I can just answer you right there. So, but it's very important that people get ready, because we have rocked the boat. As I saw a headline on the Drudge Report where it said that this Brexit is bad for the global order, and that's the new world order. And so, you're going to see that there's going to be all kinds of BS spread that, you know, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. But, you know, we've known that a financial collapse was on the horizon for the last decade, maybe. I mean, I know that we have friends that have been saying this, I swear, for 20 years that the dollar was going to collapse. Yes, it probably will. So you can see this. And this might just be what they start the blame on. But there, if there's three or four other countries leaving the EU is going to not be there anymore. And one of the things they did when they set up the EU, and this is why they have so many immigrants and have such a problem, is they did away with their borders, just like you see what the United States has unofficially done with our southern border, because they want people to be able to come through here, because that's how they can divide the nation. So one of the things that I think is happening is that people are starting to see that Donald Trump has the right idea, because we are Americans and we love our country. And up until now in our generations that are here, we're going to feel that way. And that's the way the Germans felt and the French felt. But now all of a sudden in Sweden, they want to change things to Sharia law or you know, not sell pork. Well, you know, I've been to Germany. I spent a lot of time in Germany, actually. And, you know, pork is big on the menu there. I mean, I remember one of my favorite meals to eat at a crew lounge restaurant there was a pig knuckle. And it was awesome. And Wiener Schnitzel. I mean, pork is a big part of Germany, their way everybody eats there. So if it offends a Muslim, I don't know any Muslims that are offended by it. I have a really good friend who is Iranian. That would make him a Shiite Muslim who has a hoagie sandwich shop. And guess what? He has ham and he handles it and he serves it. It's not like it's a kryptonite to them or anything. But still, I mean, if you go in and you have a whole bunch of people come in, they're not Germans, then it's not Germany anymore. And that's what the New World Order is all about. So what they did was they made it so you don't have to show any ID when you go from across the border like you used to years ago. I mean, when I went through 40 years ago through Europe, every time it seemed like every half hour because those countries are so small, close together. But you have to show your passport, and some of the countries you actually had a visa, had to have a separate visa for in your passport. None of that is going on now. You can just go anywhere. So they can't keep track of any of these people that they claim are terrorists. And so then they have no control. So they've lost control. They're going to do the same thing in this country. So that's what we want you to be prepared for. And there you go. We have a situation, a global situation right now, because this affects everyone. The elite are busted. And I really, truly told a friend on Facebook that night, if this comes out that they want to leave the EU, I'll be amazed, because I was so sure that the voting was rigged like it is in the United States. That I just assumed that it would be there. And when they voted, I watched the vote all night. So when they voted to leave, I could not believe it. And neither could the elite, because I think they thought they'd done enough fear mongering, put enough paranoia out there and propaganda that they had the people fooled. And the people aren't fooled. They want their country back. God bless them. And I think Americans want our country back. We're pushing into the 4th of July here coming up. And that's really what it's all about. And what the global tyrants want is one world without any borders. And it might sound nice, and it might be kind of a euphoric sounding name for a scene in out of a book, but it's not reality. And it's going to take a long, long time before they're able to do away with that. And I think the people are going to let them know, because there is a great deal of national pride. And so far we've seen, I think, 5 countries, is it now, that want to get out? I think it was, if you can remember, Finland was one, because I know because Finland plays a part in my books. France and
Poland. Netherlands.
Netherlands. That's right. It was Netherlands was the first one to pull out. And then, so I think we're going to see unless they pull off a global false flag attack that can divert this and stop the referendums, we're going to see referendums. And we're going to see the EU really collapse. And so this is what we want to be prepared for. You want to be alert if you're in a major city. You want to be start making sure that you have your safety net, your safety plan for your family, so you have a meeting place, and start looking like that. You just start looking at this, that you darn well know that, you know, it's been, I'll never forget this, because when Pan Am 103 fell out of the sky, right before that, Yasser Arafat had finally been given a visa to come to the United Nations. And I saw that and I said, oh, uh-oh. And lo and behold, Pan Am 103 happened. And that stopped him coming to the UN. So you see, it's all related. And it has been all related my entire life, from the Gulf of Tonkin and the people that I went to high school with going off to the Vietnam War, Kennedy, all kinds of stuff. So when we're aware and we start to look with eyes that are open, and we start to listen with ears that can hear. And so we're very aware now that the elite are troubled and they're very nasty and they're very much in control of all of the things that can do harm around the world, not just to the United States, not just to France, not just to the UK. So they want to shake up everyone. Because they are losing control. Because thank God for Al Gore creating the internet, huh? Because they're the internet. People are waking up. People are no longer getting their news off the television. They realize they're being manipulated and lied to. And they're going out and they're looking. I mean, even, you know, I am not a reader of something like The Veterans Today. I just, I don't have a lot of respect for the people that write right there, except for Dr. Kevin Barrett. But it's not, I mean, it's not something I would read or recommend, but I did see through a Facebook post that this Joe Cox, this MP from the UK, quite possibly her murder was a hoax or some kind of arranged situation to create, to sway some voters to feel so sorry for the for her team was to stay in the EU. So it's hard to say. I'm not a conspiracy nut, so I have to look into it deeper, and I haven't had time.
Well, one of the other things that this brought to the light is Scotland. Scotland overwhelmingly voted to remain, and so they want to do a referendum again to leave the actual United Kingdom, which they may do because they'd like to stay in the EU. And for obvious reasons for them. And so this could be absolute chaos for the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Queen Elizabeth. She may go gray.
I know they're talking about, oh, here's the thing that too, about in the United States, to bring it on home a little bit, Texas is talking about a Texit, leaving the United States. And I when I saw that, and I know they've been thinking about it for a while, but that's one way for them to get control of their borders. And that's something that they're not getting help from the federal government. Now, Obama lost the immigration thing from the Supreme Court, but he turned around and said, well, we're just not going to enforce the law. And so we have kind of a lawless society going on right now, and we have a president that wants these people to come in that are not Americans. If people want to come here as immigrants, they go through a they go through the whole shebang, and they pledge allegiance to the United States. They don't come here to try to make this be their country, and that's what's happening with a lot of the illegal Mexicans, and they're coming here for the benefits, but they want to turn this into Mexico. And so this is not something you would want to see from other countries.
Well, I think Fredge posted today that it was 18 million people in this country that have not had to swear allegiance or to defend this country. Now, you know, you get into a situation where the country needs to be defended and you've got people that, you know, have no allegiance to it. You're fighting both sides against the middle at that point, and it becomes almost impossible to deal with because you no longer have a country.
And I think Trump has said this too, and it makes total sense. If you don't have borders, you don't have a country, and the EU is that right now. And this is part of the global New World Order design was to make everything open borders, but you see what kind of a horrible mess it has made for the European countries that are in the EU that have no borders, and these people are these refugees who have nothing, and they have nothing to lose, are going into countries, and there's no control. There's no passport control. I know, I remember going into a Middle Eastern country where in order to get into the hotel room, they held my passport. Now, that was kind of creepy, but you had to show your ID, and they held on to it until you checked out. And so you see that if you don't have that kind of control, you have no control. And this is what you have. Everything's gone run amok. And I think the Europeans that are involved in the EU have experienced not just job loss and their style of living, their middle class diminishing in their lifestyle going downhill for the last decade or more. They don't want that. They want to make their country great again, just like Donald Trump says about here.
Well, the other thing that I find somewhat ironic is when the elites begin to talk about what a disaster this is, they act like the European Union has been around for 500 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden somebody wants to leave. Well, you know, it's only been around for 15, 20 years, basically. And, you know, they got along just fine before that. And the chances are they're going to get along just fine without it.
That's right. Yeah, it was very interesting. And I'll tell you what, if you can go back and find Christiane Amanpour on CNN from late Thursday night into Friday morning, I think that's when it was, here in the United States, it is actually kind of a comedy. She was so spun out because she is an elitist, and she's married to an elitist and very much involved in that. And of course, this is all something that the CIA likes to do, is to tell you. Now they're trolling you. If you voted to leave the EU, you're ugly and nobody likes you. Go eat worms. I mean, it's just it's the craziest thing. You're ugly. Just being trolled. And that's exactly what this is. I mean, it is crazy. I will never forget that one day my publisher got an email from one of the trolls that said, it opened up, said, "You're a fraud." Well, at that time, my publisher had the number 10 or number 9 overall out of 8 million books sitting on Amazon.com in books. So that's not a fraud. That's a real book. And that's a real lot of people reading that book. And a lot of people waking up to that truth about 9/11. So you see, people can say anything they want. And they often do, and they're trolling. And so now what's happened is the trolling has gone into the Brexit, and it's the big fight between the EU members and their minions and those that said, no, we want our country back. God bless the Great Britain, and more power to you. I hope that you can stand on this and avoid another referendum, and they'll keep doing this until they get what they want, or they'll pull something off, and that could be some sort of financial collapse where you can't afford to buy that bag of rice I'm telling you to buy. Okay, so this is the kind of stuff I just want people to really be prepared for and be paying attention, because we are vulnerable now, seriously vulnerable for some type of global attack. Something that's a monster, because this is a monster that's freaking out. And when the octopus fights, they got all the weapons. I mean, it's kind of weird and creepy, but and that's what it's all about. So anyway, I just want to close by saying, you know, if you haven't already done so, you follow me on Facebook. There's a
90 seconds.
And the store has been reworked, and so you can go in and pre-order this book, and it'll be on Amazon sometime before the 15th of July. My best guess is about the 8th of July, maybe a little bit sooner. So I guess we're just about running out of time here.
Oh, you got a whole minute.
A whole minute, eh?
I can recite my golf scores, but I won't.
Okay. Well, so did you get golf down there? In Las Vegas? Did you do some gambling?
I try to avoid that.
Oh. Okay, well, golfing is kind of gambling, I guess. There it goes. So, well, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll get this up on YouTube. I'll put a link to our store if you want to buy and order the books. Also, the set saves you some money, too, the 3-book set. And you'll get free bookmarks. I'll throw in a half dozen or so.
And you're going to have to think of another autograph.
I know. The first time I said fasten your seatbelt, the second book I said brace for impact. So bend over, stay down. It's not really appropriate, but it certainly was one of our good commands. Come this way. You help at the bottom. So, yeah, those would be our commands for the aircraft, which okay.
Well, that's our show. We thank you, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us.